Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. My name is Rodney, and joined by Skype is Will and Brooks.
Hey, how's it going, folks?
All right, today we're going to talk about part one of our E3 predictions for 2018. So we'll start with Nintendo here, and then we'll branch out and talk about some Ubisoft and talk about some Bethesda. It's going to be good stuff. I'm sure you guys are excited about E3, yeah?
Oh, I got goosebumps.
Oh, I can't wait for E3 this year.
Literally not going to sleep. We're going to be like, it's going to be good. Okay, guys, stay tuned. Nintendo coming up right now. Yeah. All right, welcome again to the VGN podcast. Nintendo. I'm sure they got a big lineup for their for E3 this year, boys. And definitely Smash Bros. Is going to top that list.
Yeah, Smash Bros. Is probably going to be their big one. But I wouldn't put it past them, since they've already teased Smash Bros., that they have something big in the waiting.
Something like a Nintendo 64 Mini?
Yeah, that would be very big. I could see pre-orders for that selling out within maybe an hour, maybe two.
I see that order just crashing every website that hosts it, basically, yeah.
I see myself, like, recycling through different websites trying to get my order through.
Yeah, but, I mean, I was talking about this with someone at work, and he brought up a good point, is if it's going to be Mini, how are you going to plug in four controllers?
Ooh.
Well, even the Mini, like, the 64 controller ports aren't that big, and the Mini could still support four controllers, I would say.
I think they would change the plug on it, honestly, because, like, those were some honking plugs back in the day for the 64. I don't think they need something that big anymore.
Yeah, but didn't the NES have two-player support or four? I can't remember.
No, it was two-player.
It was two-player. Yeah. There was only two ports, I think.
Yeah, with the and the SNES as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they still kept those ports with the minis, so I would say they do the same thing with the Mini N64.
Yeah, I think the idea was that you could use the controllers in your closet as the controllers for the system.
So, yeah. We don't have a release date officially for this game yet, but I'm seeing rumors about September 2018 possibly being release date, so we might get an actual confirmed release date this E3 for the game, which would be great.
For
what?
For the 64 Mini?
For Smash Bros. Switch.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Yeah.
It would make sense, because every Smash Bros. I've played, I usually see them, it's a holiday game.
Yeah, for sure.
That's when they sell the most games, they sell the most console units. That's a game that's going to push units, for sure.
Can we talk about the roster that you guys think is going to be in the game? For sure, I think, guaranteed, we're going to have Link, we're going to have Mario.
We're going to have the original 10 for sure.
The original characters for sure. But what about new characters? Do you guys have any ideas? I mean, other than like Jigglypuff, Kirby, those ones.
I can tell you who I don't want them to bring back, and that's Ike. He's an
or Marth. Or I think Marth's gonna be in it. I have a feeling that those two are gonna be in the game. So.
I don't want to see another goddamn Fire Emblem character for the rest of my life.
I think this was before you joined us, Brooks, but we actually did a top 10. I think it was a top 10.
Yeah.
Four characters we want to see come to Smash Bros.
And there's a couple in there that I really, really want to see. One of them is actually Will's kind of top pick, and that's King K. Rool.
I mean, I'd like to see some new Pokemon added as well, which could spice things up, especially with the release of the new Pokemon game. I could definitely do that.
Yep. Pikachu's good. I mean, Pikachu will be in it anyway. It's like the mascot of the frickin' franchise. But
Jigglypuff.
I've seen some dirty matches where people are playing as Jigglypuff, like just straight dirt. But Greninja, I didn't mind. I like Greninja. He can come back. Charizard even can come back.
Charizard and Greninja I liked. I don't actually see them making a return, though, mainly because it's a previous generation now. I think Greninja was there mainly to put spotlight on Gen 7 or Gen 6.
Yeah.
Gen 6, yeah.
That's true, but they brought back Mewtwo, and he's Gen 1. But mind you, like, everybody...
Mewtwo's been around forever.
Yeah, everybody's like, Mewtwo, bring him in.
Yeah.
They're going to have some definite pop culture references, too, as well, come in. What do you guys think they're going to throw in? Like, I remember in back in Brawl, they had Solid Snake. Like, do you think we're going to see any weird additions like that?
Well, one of the ones I brought up in the podcast and the top 10 back there, I really like to see them bring in Shovel Knight.
I think that'd be interesting, too, because they already have, like, a 2D-type character, right, Game & Watch? So it'd be interesting to see another 2D-type character on the same plane. That wasn't a pun. Yeah, that was no pun intended, yeah.
So what else is going to be at the Nintendo press conference you guys are looking forward to? Possibly the new Pokemon? We're going to see Pokemon on the Switch, maybe?
Yeah, I saw the trailer, like I said, in the last podcast, and I'm super stoked for it. And I even showed my girlfriend, and I made her watch the whole 3-minute trailer, and she seems somewhat into it, so hopefully I could break her.
Nice.
I mean, I just want to see... Sorry, go ahead, Will.
I'm going to say, though, like... the new one that they're talking about, the next core game that'll be out in 2019, I highly doubt they're going to showcase that or even show it off at E3. If anything, it'll probably be something that'll be unveiled usually within 6 to 7 months of release. That's usually what they do with those core games.
I don't know, man. Maybe that's the big announcement because usually Pokemon games get released earlier in the year. That's kind of their track record. I'm just going to look up whenever. Like, I know the very first one was released in January. So,
yeah, but remember, like, Sun and Moon, I bought you, I think I bought you Sun or Moon, I bought you Moon, I can't remember, and I played Sun.
Yeah.
And didn't that come out in October? And same with Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, I'm pretty sure those came out in, like, October, November last year.
Not sure, but yeah, I know the first one for sure came out, because I remember they released the Pokemon Yellow or Red and Blue on the eShop, and it was to celebrate the 20th anniversary in January.
Yeah, talking about Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu, after watching the trailer, it actually, I'm not going to be too embarrassed to say this, but I pulled out my old Game Boy Color, and I've started playing Pokemon Yellow.
Nice. That's good, man. Yeah, the first one was released February 27th, 1996 in Japan, and I'm just finding dates, unfortunately, right now, year ranges. That's not helpful. And then Gold and Silver came out. It came out in October. So yeah, maybe it did start to push later. But yeah, whatever. I mean, I would tease it just a little bit. Just to let them know, like, hey. I mean, everyone already knows that it's in development because Sun and Moon came out, like, 3 years ago or whatever it is now.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
It's just, it depends. Like, if that game's not coming out till 2019, then I highly doubt they're going to showcase anything because then they have to show off Gen 8 Pokemon.
Actually, wait, it wasn't 3 years ago. I've only known you for 3 years. That was like 2 years ago. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to Metroid Prime 4, boys?
Metroid Prime 4. Why don't we?
Because last E3, they announced that. I remember we got like a nice like 20-second teaser. Just of the logo, so I feel like this year is the time for a full reveal. Maybe some gameplay, a trailer, or something like that.
There'll be a full reveal, but like I don't think that was a 20-second teaser. It seemed more like a 10-second. It was just the Metroid
nice
logo,
and
then it then it just faded into another game.
Yeah, it's enough to get me stoked, though, because I remember playing Metroid Prime on the GameCube when I was a little kid and absolutely falling in love with the mechanics and everything. So it was like one of the coolest sci-fi games out there on the Nintendo GameCube.
Yeah, they haven't.
They didn't really have another sci-fi first-person shooter like it.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting, and yeah, they haven't released anything in quite a while. So,
well, they have released a Metroid game. Do you guys remember that co-op one, that garbage one that they just released like 2 years ago?
That doesn't count.
Yeah, and Metroid, like, after forgettable entries like Metroid Other M and stuff like that, I think it's time that we go back to a return to form, so we get like a solid, decent gameplay driven one. Because like when they tried to do the whole story thing, I feel like Other M kind of sucked because they tried too hard in that sort of regard.
Did you guys ever play that mini game in Nintendo Land for Metroid?
I can't remember. I don't think I did.
What about you, Brooks?
No, I haven't.
Man, that game was fun. All the little mini games on Nintendo Land are a lot of fun. But I really liked the Zelda one, and I had perfect score on everything except for the very, very last level. But yeah, the Metroid one was also a lot of fun. But that sucks you guys haven't played. Maybe you guys should come over and we'll have a drink or four or five and play the game.
If there's four or five drinks, then there better be a couch involved.
Yeah, I'll be sitting down for this one. All right, moving on here to...
We got... What else? N64 Classic Edition, most likely?
Yeah.
Because there were a lot of rumors, and that's definitely a thing.
I feel like you jumped like through time at some point, because like Will and I were talking about this earlier, and then you went back to Smash Bros., and then we're like, oh, okay. We just kept moving along, and then you're like, oh, yeah, the N64 Classic, and we're like, okay.
It's all cyclical.
It's cyclical.
Yeah. But no, yeah, the N64 Classic would be a phenomenal gift to myself.
Yeah. I wonder how much it's going to be, too. They might show off how much it's going to cost as well. I hope it's not too expensive.
It's going to be $100. They've sold the NES Classic for $100. They've sold the SNES Classic for $100. They're not going to go more than that, mainly because it's an old system. And they can still make more money off of it. All they have to do is sell the console and one controller with the 30 games or whatnot for $100, sell an extra controller for $20.
Yeah.
Well, what is the classic games going to be? Because, like, there's some A-plus N64 games out there.
Well, that's another thing, too. What about all the Rare games? Rare is owned by Microsoft now, so are we going to see Conker and all the, you know, Perfect Dark, all those classic N64 games? Are those even going to be able to make it on this one?
No, they can't. Microsoft actually bought the license because, if you remember, they did the Rare Replay.
Yeah, and Rare Replay, that made up, like, the heart of, in my opinion, Rare video games made up the heart of the N64. So I feel like if they redo it and they won't have those games, it's going to be missing a huge piece.
Wow, there was a lot of Rare games, too. There was DK64, there was Perfect Dark was Rare, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Banjo-Kazooie. It's going to be a serious hit to the games on the N64 Classic. So it's like, if I can't play those games, it takes away half the value for me.
I'm just thinking... Sorry, go ahead, Will.
But, you know, as much as the Rare games really did highlight that generation with the N64, there was a lot, and I mean a lot of other Nintendo games that stole the spotlight. Like, one I know it's going to be on there, mainly because of how great it was for the N64... GoldenEye.
Yeah, I was just going to bring GoldenEye up. Yep. So, yeah, GoldenEye, basically the godfather of the FPS genre. Let's be frank. Eh? Eh? Oh, you guys.
I agree. No, I agree. I totally agree. I'm looking up top N64 games to kind of see what we might get with this.
I still remember that escort mission with that girl, Tatiana, or whatever her name was. Brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we might be that you're talking the story, but like if we're talking like the godfather of like first person on like multiplayer shooters.
Oh yeah, definitely. Especially with the couch co-op on a console, yeah, 100%. It was that and then Halo on the next generation and on Xbox that started it all.
Like
yeah.
Half my friends bought that game, never played the story. They only bought it for that multiplayer.
Yeah, and back in the day when you have to push R to aim.
Do you guys remember that dick who would always pick odd job and would be a foot shorter than everyone else and was impossible to hit because the controls were so terrible to begin with? And then you'd have a guy who was like 2 feet tall
Yeah.
I liked Odd Job.
Yeah.
So OP.
There was two things that are, if you go back and play the game now, that are really, really noticeable. The first one is the auto aim is like on max. Like you literally see somebody and you're like instantly snap over and aim at them. And the other thing is there's kind of little to no strategy. Like, you know, obviously in modern games there's somewhat a little bit of a strategy where you can outsmart your opponents and then shoot them, but in this one it's like literally you got to stand there, hold R, aim, and then shoot them, or vice versa or whatever. Like, or you could maybe duck in a door, but that's about it.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of the N64 controller and how bad like it was to move around.
Well, it was fine when we were kids, but now that we have like ape hands, which is like, it's just not, it doesn't work. So
speaking of which, do you think they're gonna do anything to the N64 classic controller?
It would be cool if they kind of made it somewhat like the Cube controller, because the Cube controller is kind of more comfortable, or obviously more comfortable to hold than the N64 controller, and just put, like, no one uses the D-pad, let's be honest. So
as long as they have a public service announcement putting all those kids that use their two fingers and only hold the middle piece to bed, because that's ridiculous. Every time I see these younger generation kids, like, with their thumb and their index finger both on the joystick, it just kills me inside.
Oh, yeah, there's a button underneath, buds.
Yeah.
But moving on from GoldenEye, what other games? Well, this one we don't really need to talk about, but it's definitely going to be on there, is Super Mario 64.
And Zelda, of course, to capitalize on the success of Breath of the Wild.
I'm trying to remember the name of the game, but do you guys remember that Wave Racer one? Wave Rider? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
The Ski-Doos, that was really good. It was one of their top games.
Something on 64.
I just can't remember. Yeah, it's like Wave Racer.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's Diddy Kong Racing. That was Rare too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Shit.
I think so, yeah. We're going to get Mario Kart, of course. It's going to come back. Mario Party, probably, will also be there.
Oh, Mario Party.
Pilot Wings.
Some of the Ubisoft titles, like Rainbow Six, the original one, was on the N64.
That one was hard, dude. That one was freaking hard. I found it...
Yeah, well, that game was stupid hard, especially when I was like 5 years old, too, so I didn't know what I was doing.
Well, I mean, we'll go back now and it'll probably be really easy, but it was freaking hard back in the day. For sure. And then
I played it last year. It was still hard, man.
Oh, really? It's funny. I remember that rooftop mission, and that's about it, because I did that one a million times, and I couldn't get any further than, like, that main room. Like, you go in, and you're going through the hall or whatever, and then that main room.
Yeah, down the stairs and through the hall, and that was it. I got killed every time.
Yeah, yeah. Or detected or whatever, yeah. It just... yeah. Games back in the day were hard, man. So, not anymore. Well, I mean, unless you play online and you get rocked by all the really good people.
Should we talk about Bethesda? And it's next on the list.
Yeah, we can move on to Bethesda. I was going to talk about some more Nintendo, but okay.
Oh, no. Let's go back to Nintendo. We got to give all the love to Nintendo.
All the love to Nintendo. In E3 2017, they teased a Yoshi for Switch, and I'm wondering if that's going to make an appearance in this E3. Because they had a pretty... They had a demonstration and everything. So it was obviously pretty far into development. So it's kind of strange that we haven't seen anything about it since.
That's why I was thinking that might be one of their hidden gems. I was thinking like earlier this year, probably around January, that we'd see it come back in a Nintendo Direct. But as we haven't, and there's no... They haven't said it's been canceled. It's definitely going to be one of the things they're trying to keep behind doors till a reveal at E3.
I mean, they could have swept it under the rug too. Like, nope, no Yoshi, sorry.
I think there's too much love for Yoshi to do something like that.
Yeah, true. True that. All right, but yeah, I mean, I didn't play the Yarn Yoshi. I don't know how exciting that one was. Actually, Brittany has that.
It wasn't bad, but like now, when I'm saying like love for Yoshi, though, like they announced a Yoshi last year. Yeah, if they announced they did, didn't they? A WarioWare title last year at E3.
Another WarioWare. Are those games even fun?
No, they're not. That's why I was like, that's a forgotten game that they could have just swept under the rug.
Gone away. Yeah. Here's an interesting one that we'll probably talk about for 2 seconds. Star Fox Grand Prix. So they got rid of Rare and they can't have Diddy Kong Racing anymore. So they just put another game of animals racing each other.
Now, are we talking, since it's Star Fox, is this going to be actual racing on the ground, or are they going to try to take this as like spaceship racing?
Well, let me just read what this article says. It says Retro Studios isn't handling the new Metroid game, but that doesn't mean the studio isn't tackling a Nintendo Space franchise. It was reported in early May that Retro is working on a Star Fox racing game titled Star Fox Grand Prix, which appears to be a blend of the series' air-based vehicular gameplay with open-ended areas reminiscent of Diddy Kong Racing. So, literally just like I said. Thus far, we're still skeptical, but if it's real, there's a good chance that Nintendo shows it off during their presentation. The game sounds like it'll be easier to demonstrate than the Wii U Star Fox Zero, which had a convoluted control scheme that looked almost as bad in videos as it was in real life. Yeah, you guys played Star Fox Zero, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I bought it, and then I played, like, an hour of it, and then I didn't pick it up again, so thank God I bought it for, like, $30.
Yeah, I think I actually borrowed it from a friend after you bought your copy, because it just didn't look like a game that I was fully interested in, and I think they've really been a letdown so far in the last, like, decade with Star Fox.
Yeah, and, I just didn't get the same feeling that I got when I played the original one, you know? It was a little bit different for sure.
Yeah. After what they did... Go ahead.
I was going to say, they did a remaster of the original one, and even that one wasn't as good as I remember it.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was the gyro controls, honestly.
They were definitely bad, yeah.
I mean, they weren't necessarily bad. It just didn't feel... like they were trying to make you feel like you were flying the fucking plane, and you're not. Well, you are, but you're not.
I just think with what they did with Mario last year, is the Switch has so much promise and power that they could actually deliver a great Star Fox title.
Yeah, but I mean, no one really even. I mean, they tried to expand it on the GameCube and make you not just fly around. And that one kind of blew. I mean, it was okay, but I don't know. I didn't really like it myself. I don't know about you guys.
No, I do remember it. I didn't like it. It was very repetitive.
Yeah. And also, the characters pissed me off. I mean, they pissed me off in the Star Fox 64 one. Like, Peppy, I just wanted to punch him in the freaking teeth. And Slippy the Toad, just bitch slapped that Slippy the Toad. That Slippy the Toad just super annoying. Why are there ships coming out of the bay? Oh! Oh!
That didn't bring good memories back.
I only liked Falco because he was an arrogant asshole. And I'm like, yeah, that's how you're supposed to fly a plane. Like an arrogant asshole.
Every, fighter pilot movie, that's basically the personification of Falco.
You didn't like Pepe, though? Do a barrel roll! You didn't like him?
No, it's what
he is cheesy though. He's like the goose to Fox's Maverick.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he would say do a barrel roll, and then later on he would, like in the next mission, he's like, oh, maybe he forgot. I'll say it in a different way. To do a barrel roll, push Z or R twice. Shut up, Peppy. when I played Breath of the Wild, the bird dude, I can't remember the race name right now. But anyways, the bird dude literally made me think of Falco the whole time. Because it's Falco. Like, his personality and everything is Falco. It's like, Jesus, you just copy and paste it.
Yeah, I got the same. Yeah, don't even.
I mean, the whole series kind of just got, like,
stale.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, so then they obviously re-released the 64 version on the 3DS. And I don't know if it sold very many copies or not. Why don't we just use the tool that we have in front of us called the internet, and we'll find that out. So I don't know. But, I mean, it was, like I said, it was fun. I did enjoy playing through the game again, but the gyro controls got a little weird. But when you turn them off, it also felt wrong. There was no middle ground for that.
I don't know how much it sold, but looking at reviews, it averaged 8 out of 10 on at least 15 different sites.
For the original or for the remake?
For the remake, for the 3DS.
Okay. I'm just going to quickly look up where that started. But, yeah, I mean, the subsequent ones on the GameCube, like I said, actually, how well did those ones sell? Because those ones, to me, felt like they just weren't, yeah, they weren't up to snuff. And then they made two out of all things. But the thing that makes me, mind you, back in the day, AI for video games was kind of balls. So your AI for your, that pissed me off the most about Star Fox 64 is it's like you literally did all the work. Like they would get like two kills a round and you're like, can you like, you know, you're supposed to be an ace pilot, yet you suck. So, you know.
This song is making me want to go play Pokemon.
Yeah, it's a good song.
Yeah. Yeah, the champion theme from Crystal.
Yeah.
Yeah. That battle was hard.
We should move on to the next company, like Brooks said. So let's start with Bethesda.
Bethesda, who recently announced Fallout 76.
Yep, Fallout Battle Royale. Here we go.
Well, I want to say, like, I guess they forgot Fallout 5 to 75.
These guys are time travelers from...
Those have all been canceled.
From,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hope it's good. Like, it's just to get right into it, it looks like they're going to be doing something different with this new Fallout entry. Doesn't seem like it's going to be mainline Fallout, so it's probably going to be a side project Fallout. So who knows? I mean, New Vegas started as a side project, and that was one of the best Fallout games of all. I mean, but then again, Fallout Tactics, however, turned into a big colossal piece of shit. Pardon my French. So, I mean, it could go either way. I think if they do... If they just take... Like, did you guys both play Fallout 4?
No, I didn't.
If they take the gameplay elements from Fallout 4 and then the base building slash resource gathering and crafting and turn that into a survival game, I think it could be cool. I don't know how much replayability a game like that could have. We already have Rust. We have Ark Survival Evolved. Do we really need another Fallout-themed survival game?
Yeah, who knows? I will note though the picture that we put on our website, the one where the jacket wearing the 76. Every time I look at that, I think of Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and the character that Kurt Russell played, and when he was like driving, like the first scene of the movie,
Ego. Like, Ego.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm just looking at that. I'm like, yeah, Kurt Russell wears that shirt, or that jacket right there from the 70s. No. But yeah, I mean that's what I see. It's like from year 1976. That's what I think that looks like. But you know, I know I'm wrong.
I'm a big fan of like Fallout. Till they actually show me something worthwhile with the Fallout, the new Fallout, I'm gonna hold my breath.
Hold your breath. Hold it until the bubbles stop. But anyways, Bethesda also has some exciting other lineups here. We got Rage 2 is another potential thing that we'll see at E3. What do you guys think of that?
I really enjoyed the first Rage. It was very... it didn't sell as well as they hoped, but it had a cool story, very similar to Fallout in its own way, as you were like cryogenically frozen. I can't remember why, but then you wake up years later and yeah.
I just remember it being a crazy sci-fi game that kind of came out of nowhere, too, like right at the end of the out of the console's life cycle. And then it kind of had like this wacky Mad Max kind of personality and had like a really fun shooter mechanic, kind of like Doom or something like that. So I really like that. I think they could, like, based on Doom and like how Doom went, I'm really excited to see what they do with that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I really enjoyed Rage 1. Rage 2 is definitely on my radar this year.
I mean, if it plays anything like Wolfenstein, either the Wolfenstein games or the Dune games, I think we're going to be in for a treat.
Right. So in this article here, it's saying that it's not the Fallout Wasteland and it's not the Wasteland 2 Wasteland either. So it's an entirely different land that they've wasted, especially for the occasion of Rage 2. Yeah. So that's funny. Some of these journalists are funny. Wolfenstein, Dishonored, and or Doom. So
don't forget Prey. Prey was really good as a not so much a survival, but kind of a sci-fi horror game, I guess you would call it.
I wonder if all these survival games are being released to prepare us for the inevitable doom of the end of the world from various causes. I'm just going to leave that open-ended. But we never got a chance to play the Wolfenstein 2 at PAX, unfortunately, Will, because, you know, the lineup was 4 hours long and we had better things to do than to stand beside a bunch of people who just had foot-long chili dogs. Wolfenstein 2, the new Colossus, came out in October 2017, and it was recently ported over to the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, we're going to get it on Switch, which is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Have you guys played either of the newest Wolfenstein games?
Oh, yeah. I own both of them for the PlayStation 4, and I have beaten them both multiple times.
I mean, I'm interested to see how it runs, because like I know that Wolfenstein isn't as graphically demanding as Doom, because there's not as many effects and stuff going on. So I'm pretty sure they say it's going to be running at like at least 30 FPS the whole time, and graphically it won't be like it'll look pretty good. I mean, they pulled it off with Doom and it worked great, so I think they could definitely pull this off.
Yeah, looks really cool. I mean, the second one looked really cool. I didn't play it myself, but Will, I'm so glad you're here. You've played like every game ever made.
That's not always a good thing.
Well, it's good for this podcast, yeah.
So what else? What else is Bethesda gonna shell out? They might show the long-awaited Elder Scrolls 6, right? We can hold out hope for that.
Yeah,
there's gonna be probably a teaser, maybe if it is gonna be shown. But I can't remember. I think it's Todd Howard, who's the CEO of Bethesda, has said that they're still a ways away from releasing Elder Scrolls 6, and I think they're just focusing more on these. Well, I do know they have apparently two new IPs in development. Nothing else is known about them. And I think they're going to go back to some of their older stuff, like they've been bringing back Doom, Prey, Rage now. A lot of other games are coming.
I'm still holding out hope for a Fallout 3 or New Vegas remaster.
Or maybe even a new IP, because, I mean, Bethesda's released a lot of good stuff. And it seems to be mostly survival based. I may be wrong, but
there have been some rumors swirling around of a new space themed outer space IP. So
yeah, Will. Yeah, Will was talking about that briefly on the last podcast.
Yeah, it's been teased a little bit in some articles with some leaks and some concept images, but other than that, no one really knows. Bethesda is quite a big company in its own right, and they're very good at keeping things quiet if they don't want to. I thought by now we would have seen something leak out for Elder Scrolls 6 because of Skyrim being, what, like 5 years old now?
Right.
It's 7 years old. Came out in 2011.
Thank you. You just aged me a little bit more.
Well, I mean, every time I think about, like, I had to pull out my high school transcript and send it away yesterday for a reason that doesn't matter to this podcast, but yeah, and then I'm like looking at it and I'm like, man, I was in school that long ago, holy shit.
I don't even want to go back, man. I'm
we're getting up there, boys. We're getting up there.
Pretty soon I'll be getting dentures.
Oh god.
Yeah. I'd rather have
what else?
Oh, I was never mind. The joke I was going to make was really bad. So, but
what else is Bethesda going to come out with? I mean, that pretty much covers it all. I mean, they're going to have. Sorry, go ahead.
Yo, I was going to say that. Yeah, that's pretty well it. I mean, other than a new IP or probably showcasing more of Fallout 76. That's pretty well.
I'm going to bank on that new IP.
Yeah, because I mean, just looking at the list that we have here, there's like three games on it, right? So we just talked about them. So that seems kind of small, and I don't think Bethesda's going to have its own press conference and go in with three games, right? They got to have something up their sleeve for sure.
Yeah, and even last year, they only showed off like five games. Their conference was still an hour long, but it was because they showcased each game for at least 10 minutes.
Yeah. So yeah, they might do something similar to that then. Who knows?
Yeah.
But the developer that we'll be looking forward to the most would be Ubisoft, I think.
I thought you... Well, for developer-wise, yeah, definitely Ubisoft.
Yeah, Ubisoft, they got a big shoe to fill here from last year with Origins, because Origins was top shelves, and now they got a new one coming out for Ancient Greece.
I've been wanting for a while. Like, I love Greece, like, mythology, history, and stuff like this, and after what they did with the Egyptian history and just taking you back, like, to Egypt, you learned Egypt's history while you were there. Like,
yeah.
It was just so good.
Yeah. Mind you, they probably used the excuse of making a game so they could travel to Egypt.
Well, of course. If you guys remember the Assassin's Creed games, always have some more fantastical, magical elements to them. Like with the Apple of Eden and that sort of stuff. But yeah. If they go to the Greek mythology, we might even see some Greek mythological god characters, that sort of thing. Like Zeus's hammer. You know, it's a bad example, obviously, Zeus's lightning bolt, or like...
Ooh, good save.
Yeah, I'm mixing my games up here. That's God of War.
I don't know if we're going to get into like Zeus and God, or like Hercules or stuff. Like, actually, Hercules could, because he's... In
he's
most
a
de- things,
he's a demigod.
He's a half god, yeah. So, but I wouldn't be surprised if we're going back. Do you remember like Assassin's Creed 2? We had Leonardo da Vinci. I was going to say DiCaprio.
And this pops into my mind too, because they teased that little trailer of the guy kicking the guy off the edge, and that's a throwback to 300, clearly, when Leonidas kicks the guy. So we might even see King Leonidas in the Spartans.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I think Greece has a lot of history that they could actually incorporate into the Assassin's Creed franchise, and I, for one, am very excited for it.
What if you are King Leonidas? That's the assassin. That'd be fucking amazing. You'd like lead an army of 300... Oh my god, I can't even think about that without spoiling my underwear. the ancient Greece is going to be super exciting. I think we are going to see the gods. I think, well, or they might even reference them similar to how they did in Origins, where they're like, oh, the gods, ooh, and they just talk about them for, you know, every
moment
of the game.
Yeah, I kind of forgot, like, Assassin's Creed, if I go back to, like, the originals and 3, they had I can't remember what they're called, but the first survivors, like, the first settler gods, remember?
Yep.
Because in 3, I can't remember his name, but the main character, remember, he sacrifices himself to make sure that one god doesn't come back?
Desmond Miles. Desmond.
The guy from the first 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, Nolan North's character.
Yeah. Well, I didn't like playing as that chick.
Origins, that annoyed me. I didn't her story at all. And she just didn't care about anyone but herself and her research.
I know. And then it's like... Oh, I've been asleep for like 40 days in this freaking simulator like thing, and now I'm gonna get up and there's people around me, and I'm just an immediately instant assassin. Like, screw off.
Yeah, I didn't like. I really, if we go back, like I do remember they were trying to clone Desmond. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that. Sorry.
Yeah, I think it was in Black Flag. Do you remember if you hacked all the computers, you got all that history and stuff like that, and remember they were taking DNA samples from Desmond.
Right.
Yeah, I never spent any time outside of the Animus in that game. I thought it was just a crappy, boring tack on. I wanted to get back into the pirate ship action.
Yeah, no,
man,
I agree.
Of that hacking was bullshit. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, when you're close to the end of the game and you have to have like a level 4 security hack, and you're just in there like, oh man.
Yeah, I didn't like that in any of the Assassin's Creed games where you got, even as when you're playing as Desmond, it's like, I just want to, like, be an assassin, like, I don't give a shit about Desmond.
Exactly, I mean, it was a good story arc and all that, but it just felt like, here we go again with the talking and walking.
Do you remember in Assassin's Creed 3, when Desmond really started taking on, like, becoming an assassin? After his father got kidnapped and he went into the Abstergo building, like, you were an assassin.
Yeah, at least there was some combat as Desmond. In the first 2 games, it was literally just walking and talking and exposition as Desmond.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you, like, tried to, like, make a cinematic movie out of it, but because, like, you're in a box and you can't do anything, so you're like, oh, I'm gonna go stand by the window and look out, like, you know, like I'm depressed or something, and be like, whoa. Yeah, I don't know. That's what I did. I was weird when I played that game.
My favorite character still from the Assassin's Creed series, though, is Ezio Auditore.
I liked Altair.
I like the first one too. I can't say his name without sounding like an idiot.
Altair.
Yeah, him. I like his outfit too. Like, I used that one in Assassin's Creed Origins.
Me
yeah,
me too, man. He lived to be 90 years old too, so he was the most badass assassin of them all.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because now that if you play Origins, Bayek was actually the original assassin.
Yeah, right. You haven't played Origins. I keep forgetting that, Brooks.
Yeah, so, like, I don't want to spoil too much for everyone, but, like, close to the end of the game, he actually creates the Assassin Order.
The Brotherhood, yeah.
The Brotherhood.
Yeah. And the symbol for Assassin's Creed, I was kind of... Actually, you know what? No, I'm not going to spoil that, because that was an interesting find. You know what I'm talking about, Will?
I know.
Okay, yeah. I didn't want to say it out loud, but yeah, I mean, when you play it all the way to the end, they show you how they make, or how they determine the symbol for the Assassin's Brotherhood, and it just, like, was like, I would have never, ever in my life, like, figured that out.
I really have to go back and play the expansions for it, because I heard it adds a lot more, the DLC adds a lot more story.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, we should move on with Ubisoft, because we talked about Assassin's Creed for a millennia.
So what's
Splinter
next?
Cell. Splinter Cell.
Yeah, Splinter Cell.
Splinter Cell. Yeah.
Didn't they announce that they were I remember hearing some sort of teaser about Michael Ironside coming back and voicing Sam Fisher again, and then
no, what it was is, if anyone's played Ghost Recon Wildlands, they added a limited time event where
the mission, I was playing that yesterday.
Okay, yeah, so that mission has Michael Ironside returning as the voice of Sam Fisher. Personally, when I played, what was the last one, Blacklist. Splinter Cell Blacklist, great game, but every time I heard Sam Fisher talk, it just wasn't the same. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it has to be Michael Ironside. I agree.
I just remember going back to the original Xbox and his voice, like, just that grizzled, you know, dark. It just fit the character perfect.
Could you imagine a Mufasa that wasn't James Earl Jones? Like, let's be real.
Well, it's like how they switched David Hayter with Kiefer Sullivan for Solid Snake. It just, like, it killed it for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of David Hayter. I actually met him a couple years ago, and I kind of embarrassed him. I went to Fan Expo in Vancouver. I guess this would have been 2015 or 2014, one of them. And before he was the voice of Solid Snake, he did a movie called MacGyver 2. No, Guyver. Do you know, like, the anime Guyver?
No, I've never heard of it.
Okay, yeah, he did, like, a North American anime movie, but it's a live action. Really cheesy, but I have a copy of it on DVD, and I got him to sign it, and the look on his face just blew me away.
Oh, shit, someone actually watched that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, got a couple of those out, I'm sure, some of the actors. Anyways, we kind of moved away from Splinter Cell a wee bit, but
Splinter Cell. It's making a return. It's been rumored for a couple years that Ubisoft's new studio in China was developing a Splinter Cell. I don't know if that's going to turn out to be true. It could, you know. We'll wait and see what studio's doing it. I don't really care. All I care about is the return of Sam Fisher.
Yeah.
Speaking of return of Ubisoft titles, The Division 2 also maybe happening this E3?
Maybe.
Did you guys play the original Division?
I played a bit of it, and yeah, I traded it in within, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah, I was super excited for that game, and based on the trailers and stuff like that, and then based on the game we got, I felt like we were lied to. But it had, like, with the Dark Zone and the whole, like, dynamic, like, taking loot and anyone can get in a gunfight with anybody and the tension that the Dark Zone created, I thought that was such a cool idea. And then they didn't capitalize on it at all. They basically had that zone where you went to rarely and there was no incentive to go there. And then there was mad hacking and glitching and it was so unbalanced. You had hackers running around with million damage weapons. It was just, it got stupid.
Yeah. It's one of those games that they promised the world and just didn't deliver.
I feel like with games like that is they have everything planned to a T, and they don't have any sort of backup plan, I guess. So like when it got released, everyone was like, yeah, and then they just started doing things that the developers weren't expecting, and then it just broke the game. It just straight up broke the game, and they didn't know how to handle it, and then everyone left.
Yeah, I don't really know how to comment, because I do have a couple friends that are still playing The Division, mainly because Ubisoft has released some really great free expansions to it. Not enough for me to go back, but yeah, I don't really know.
Well, you look at a game like Destiny 2 that we keep smashing repeatedly on this podcast.
Just wasn't enough to do in Division 2. You're just running around the empty streets of New York, just booking it down blocks, and everything looks the same. And then, oh, you stop, shoot a couple guys, and then, you know, maybe a dog takes a turd and then takes a crap on the side of the road. And that was the most eventful shit you'd see in that game, you know? No pun intended.
I like your pun. The pun was very intended. Another Ubisoft game, kind of going back to Assassin's Creed a little bit, but Skull and Bones, which is the... we'll call it the successor to Sea of Thieves, because we've stopped playing that.
I do want to go back to Sea of Thieves, but Skull and Bones has me a bit more excited. I really like the more customization options that they're adding into the game, and having to get a chance at better weapons and upgrading your ship to be able to do more damage.
Yeah, the upgrading the ship's going to be huge, because, I mean, in Sea of Thieves, you look and you're like, oh, there's a galleon. It's like, the only thing determining whether the galleon's a threat or not is how good the crew is. Whereas in Skull and Bones, if you get to upgrade your ship and you look on the horizon, you're like, well, that ship has like a lot of freaking upgraded stuff, so I'm not going to even fucking go near him.
I'm wondering, like, they can only, it's going to be cool. Don't get me wrong, the naval battles in Assassin's Creed Black Flag were great, but I really don't think that's going to be enough to hold up an entire $60 AAA title.
Yeah, we talked about this prior.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree. It still hasn't, I still haven't seen anything yet, but I'm sure Ubisoft's going to release
something.
Like,
in terms of progression, too, like, how much can you really do? Like, how much can you really upgrade a ship? Like, it's going to get boring and repetitive real quick.
I want to see them where they have actual story to these naval battles. Like, sure, you have your multiplayer, but, you know, maybe you have to go if you're a pirate, or, you know, if you pick Navy and you have to track other people down. Sea of Thieves is missing a lot of story, and I think this is where Ubisoft can capitalize that with Skull and Bones.
Yeah. Yeah, they shouldn't make the same mistakes that Sea of Thieves made, for sure. Like releasing a beta game at best, which should be one of them. Like the up to what they have now should have been released, I think.
Yeah, I'm really disappointed. I was super excited for Sea of Thieves, but like we've talked about it, we do want to go back and play The Hungering Deep so we can kind of talk about it on the podcast for all of you, but it's just one of those games right now that I don't have any
drive to play.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to think of the word, but it's just... You know, I'll turn on my Xbox and I'll see it sitting there, and it's just, now it's becoming like State of Decay 2, where it's like the game's fun, but there's nothing to do.
Yeah, and I mean, we opened our computer and I had my capture card and everything ready, and I'm like, oh, let's play Hungering Deep, and then we just kind of sat there in silence for a second. You're like, nah, let's play Fortnite.
And we're glad we did, man. Well, we had a really coward win, but hey, yeah. We got a win.
And then we played the other night. We did spectacular, but we found out we were on the Asian server, and we were shocked to find that we were doing way better on that server than the North American one.
Yeah, I think today I got switched to the German server because one of my friends forgot to put the do not fill in, and next thing I know, the guy's speaking German.
That must have been intimidating.
Well, we're like, does anyone understand what he's saying? And I was like, I think he said jump. So we went down, but we all died.
Jump. Yeah, but I mean, we did, like I said, we did good last night where we dropped into lucky. I got three of my challenges in one match. It was like shotgun kills, kills on lucky landing, and the minigun kills all in one match. It was great.
Yeah. Are we talking about Fork Knife now?
No, yeah. We're going to go back, but I think... yeah. I think Fortnite, though, has a great, like, now the multiplayer aspect of that game is going to be what's going to be the core demo now of a lot of upcoming games, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
every game is going to want to be Fortnite.
Pretty well, yeah. Sorry.
Even Skull and Bones. Skull and Bones is wanting to be Fortnite. It's just everyone wants to take what they offer. It's just offering it something different.
All right, moving on here with Ubisoft. What about Watch Dogs 3?
I'd be excited only if they brought back the main character. I don't think they covered him enough from the first game. Playing Watch Dogs 2, as much as I like the main character, and then you have that side quest where you run into Adrian.
Aiden.
I just felt it was a bit of a letdown, and there's a lot more that they can do with Aiden.
I don't know. I just felt Aiden was the most generic, like, Batman-sounding character you could possibly play as, you know, like,
but
the
he
most.
He was more badass that way.
So cliche. I don't know. I can agree to disagree on that one. I think a new protagonist would be a much more interesting choice.
Yeah, I kind of don't watch too many movies anymore because it's just the same formula in every freaking movie I watch, whatever genre it is. Like action, it's like, good God, can you just choose any other formula, please?
You can't because everything's been done.
Well, there's a couple things that haven't been done enough.
And there's a couple things that have been done too much.
Oh my God, yeah, it's just super annoying. And then you know what? With video games, even I'm getting that way, but the only thing that's hanging me on with that is you get to play as the characters, right? So if you're playing a mindless game that does that, you know, you're not playing for the story, then it's fine. But if you're playing one for the story, it's like, oh my God, it's the, you know, if it's a shooter game, it's like, oh my God, it's the exact same action generic plot point that's in every action movie and every action game, and it's just super annoying.
Yeah.
Oh, if I had any skills as a developer, I would just make my own freaking action game.
but also, like, Ubisoft, what are they going to have for Nintendo this year? Are we going to have a new Raving Rabbids?
I hope not.
I was going to say no thanks.
I was waiting for it. I just didn't know which one of you was going to, like, actually. There was, like, a bit of dead silence there, and then someone spoke up.
And you know me, I'm always down to bash a bad video game.
Well, yeah, there was a silence because we were picturing ourselves playing the game, and then we're like, nope.
I'm just wasting like $50 on that piece of crap. So, ugh. Yeah.
But hey, that's $30 less than Nintendo Labo. So,
yeah, which you could literally wipe your butt with because it's cardboard.
Do you guys remember that spaceship game Ubisoft showed off? Starlink.
Starlink.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember that one.
You actually like the Nintendo Labo. You make like a little starship. And put it on your controller, if I remember correctly. I'm trying to find it. Here it is, Starlink, Battle for Atlas.
And you're going to send me a link so I can laugh at it?
Yeah, just look it up. Starlink, Battle for Atlas.
Starlink. Not Star Fox. Not nope, Star-Lord. Starlink.
Too many damn stars now.
Stars now, yeah. No, not maps. Don't send me a map to the Starlink. That's not... Starlink is in... I went back too soon. It gave me an actual map to that. Starlink. Oh, yeah.
Battle for Atlas.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. No.
I was like, no. No. Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. I'm gonna
It's a no?
It's a no. But I could see that. I could see my cat attacking that, and then it just doesn't work.
It looks cool, but it's definitely another dud.
It says, let's even the odds. I'd like to challenge that. But and that's on a it's on a PS controller? Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. Starlink. You know what? When you said Starlink, I just totally pictured Link. Like, in a fucking R-Wing. In a fucking R-Wing. Just like... Maybe we should make that into a shirt, Will. Link in an R-Wing, call it Starlink.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea. We should get our graphical dude on the phone right now.
The game better be good with a t-shirt that good.
I'm going to anticipate also a brand new exclusive for the Switch, though.
Whew. The last...
You know, they decided to do...
And the more port, there's gonna be more ports as well as whatever new IP they're gonna release, I think.
Yeah, but they tried to do Rayman Legends. It sold better as a multi-port, and then Zombie U.
Well, I don't. They need another IP because they keep kind of rehashing. I mean, everyone's stoked on the rehashing of the old franchises because the originals were amazeballs. But one of those being Mario Tennis, who I literally just played the demo today, and I got so freaking mad I quit, and I'm not buying the game. So, yeah, that's a good marketing tactic. Get me so pissed off I don't buy the game. But, so they need a new IP. The last new IP they had was Splatoon, and it was fun, but it was broken. It was quite broken. The single player was lacking a lot of soul. And the multiplayer, like I said, it was fun. I laughed, though, because I thought it was Nintendo's middle finger to Call of Duty. It's like, ball. Paint, not bullets. But yeah, other than that, yeah, it wasn't too fun. I know they've added stuff to Splatoon 1 since then, but I haven't picked it up again. I've had kind of no drive to, just like with Sea Thieves.
Not franchise, but IP I'd really like to see the return of is Prince of Persia.
Yeah, that might have died out with the movie, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm just getting bad flashbacks of Jake Gyllenhaal with an ugly goatee. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, the original games were fun, though.
Yeah, even like the one they did for the 360, I think that was the last one. I just can't remember the name of it. I really enjoyed it.
If they could do the Sands of Time on the Switch, I would be happy.
Oh, but they're coming out with Crash Bandicoot and Spyro on the Switch, aren't they?
Yes, they are, but they are going both multi-platform, so they'll be everywhere.
Well, you can play the best game Sony has to offer on the Switch, so that's another reason.
I mean, portable console, man, it always gets extra points for that.
Yeah, for sure. I kind of feel bad last year at PAXWorld because we're sitting in line and you're like trying to have a conversation with me, and I'm just playing Zelda on my Switch, and I'm like ignoring you, and you're like,
okay.
Trying to like look around for someone
that
to
wasn't
talk to.
Switch. That was
no, it was Switch. It was.
Was it?
Yeah, it was Switch.
Did
and
you
then
bring your Switch?
Oh, yeah.
Oh yes, you did. I remember because I was the only one that had internet, and I had to look up walkthroughs for you.
Yeah, those shrines were. Some of them were frustrating, but. All right. Well, I think that'll do it for part one, boys. Next part, which will be released on Friday, will be. All about Xbox, all about Sony, and the remaining developers that we have not talked about yet. And we are most excited for E3, which starts on what day again, Will?
June 11th, I think it is. It's the first conference.
That's a Monday, so it would be June 9th, right?
Oh, June 9th, yes. June 9th is going to be... see if I can get up the schedule so we can all talk about it here. Give me 1 second.
Well, we're going to be doing lots of coverage, like we've said for the last couple of podcasts. We're going to be doing lots of articles. Me, Brooks, and Will basically won't sleep, and we'll get all this stuff up on the website for you guys so you can have a look. We'll also make a video summarizing what happened in the press conferences and what you can expect, just so you don't have to watch the whole 2-hour shinbob. And yeah, so join us here at Video Games Now on our website at videogamesnow.ca to stay up to date with E3. And what's coming up on Saturday, Will?
So on Saturday, June 9th, we are going to start E3 off with Electronic Arts. EA, baby.
EA. Soon, NHL 20.
Yeah, that'll be at 11 a.m. Pacific time for us. So we'll have content on our website and probably on our YouTube pages following that. On Sunday, June 10th, we have Microsoft at 1 p.m. followed by Bethesda at 6:30. And, oh, there's another one here. I just can't remember. I know the studio. I just can't remember what they've made. But Devolver Digital will be at 8 p.m. On Monday, June 11th, we have Square Enix at 10 a.m. Ubisoft at 1 p.m. We have the PC Gaming Show at 3 p.m. And Sony finishing it off at 6 p.m.
That's a big day.
Sony's going to try to finish it hard that day. And then finishing off the E3 conferences on Tuesday morning, June 12th, we have Nintendo at 9 a.m.
Yep. Maybe Nintendo always goes last so that the Japanese guys have enough time to adjust to their jet lag. I never really thought about that.
That and practice their English.
Yeah. So sorry. Wee don't work. Yeah. That was a joke. anyways, thanks for listening to our podcast today, guys. Let us know what your thoughts on the E3 2018 presentations are going to be. What do you think is going to come out? What are you hoping doesn't come out? Destiny 3. Anything like that, let us know on our Facebook page or Twitter. And or Google Plus if you're into that as well. I'm more into Google Plus than I am Twitter personally. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, Google Plus. I don't really use Twitter other than checking notifications for things I subscribe to.
Twitter's dead.
Well, it's not dead. It's just garbage. with Google Plus, you can choose whatever communities you want to be in. So I'm in Pokemon and Zelda, so my feed's like only Pokemon and Zelda stuff. And I don't see anything about Trump. I don't see anything about how, you know, we're stupid to the planet or any of that. It's just Zelda and Pokemon. That's all I want. So, yeah. Anyways. Okay, guys, thanks a lot. See you all in the next one. Bye.
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 Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.